Good, and we read that together. I'm going to pray, and then Joan and Marty are going to read our passage for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your words, and we thank you that you speak to us. And we pray that this morning you'll help us to listen. Help us to hear what you're saying. Help us to see the extraordinary work of Jesus. And we pray that you'll be working in our hearts so that we respond rightly and find life in him. Amen. Thanks, Joan and Marty.
Morning. Very happy Easter. First reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, starting from chapter 11, verse 17. It's actually found on page 1076 of the Church Bible, if you've got one of those. And this is when Jesus returns to Bethany after Lazarus has died and been laid to rest. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you asked." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. When the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?"
Continuing on, Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Well, good morning. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. If I haven't met you before, my name is Andrew. I'm one of the pastors here. A happy Easter to you, and especially if you're new or visiting, great to have you here this morning. There's a man in California called Brian Johnson. You may have read about him in the news. He's a tech entrepreneur. He's an ultra-millionaire, and he has given his life to one goal: don't die. Brian Johnson is convinced that humans don't have to die. Every day, Brian takes 111 pills. He spent $4 million developing a life extension system called Blueprints, where every part of his body, the data is sent to a whole team of scientists that track everything about him. He wears a baseball cap that shoots ultra-red light into his scalp. Every day he collects his own stool samples, sends them off for analysis, and every day he wears his ultra-light mask to get rid of wrinkles. He's just secured an extra $60 million from Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian, to develop this technology so that humans one day will never die. Now, we laugh. It sounds a little bit ridiculous. But, I mean, we may not be that crazy, but none of us want to die. And we do all that we can often to avoid it or not think about it. It's why there's so many anti-aging products out there. Botox is everywhere, or Brotox if you're a man. It's all out there because we don't want to face the idea of death or aging. We want to avoid it. It was only a few hundred years ago that death was much more in your face. Women regularly died in childbirth. Children regularly as well. But in our modern society today, we don't like thinking about dying. It makes us feel uncomfortable. But the last time I checked, death has an 100% success rate. Sorry, Brian Johnson. The ratio of death is one for every one person. And so actually, rather than trying to avoid it, I think what we all need to do is be prepared for it. Are we prepared for death? More importantly, are we prepared for life after death, or what comes after death? Well, in the story we just heard read, Jesus arrives in Judea and his best mate, Lazarus, has died. His best mate, dead. He's been dead for 4 days, so there's no doubt he's actually dead. That's very clear. And I don't know if you've ever lost someone you love. We all have experienced grief in many different ways. People respond to grief in different ways. Everyone's different. I want you to notice in this story the different ways people are processing the grief of losing this Lazarus. Firstly, there's confusion. There's confusion. Look at verse 20. Martha, that's Lazarus' sister, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." People said similar things in verse 37. "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" What are they saying? "Jesus, what are you doing? Why did you let this happen? Aren't you loving? Aren't you powerful? How could you allow Lazarus to die? And today, when we go through grief or loss, it's pretty normal to have those same questions. Or you look at what's going on in the news and you think, God, what are you doing? Why are you allowing this to happen? Why are you allowing me to go through this hard moment or my family to go through this? Why? And there's been lots written about that question. Why does God allow suffering? And we don't have time to talk about that today. What I want you to notice, though, is Jesus doesn't tell Martha off. He doesn't say, Martha, how dare you be confused or ask these kinds of questions. It is okay to have these questions and doubts. Everyone does. God, what are you doing? God, why is this happening? Why is there death? You can bring those questions, you can bring those doubts to God. He wants to listen. The second response to Lazarus' death is weeping. Weeping. The shortest verse in the whole Bible is in this passage, verse 35. Jesus wept. Now just think about how profound that is. There are many religions that have a God who is totally distant from us. Nothing like us, up there, separate, doesn't know what it's like to go through human ups and downs. But we have a God who cried. Just how profound is that? Jesus, the Son of God, wept over his best mate who had died. Isn't that comforting that Jesus knows what it's like to cry? He knows what it's like to be impacted by death. In fact, he would die himself on Good Friday. It means we can come to God with our tears, and he's ready to, he understands, and he's ready to wipe them away. And Easter Sunday, in many ways, is God's answer to your tears. We're going to look at that in a moment. Confusion, weeping. The third one, the third response is anger. Anger. I wonder if you've ever been angry at what you have gone through or a loved one has gone through or what is happening in the world. Well, Jesus was too. Verse 33 says, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Now, the English translation here doesn't really capture what it really is saying. In the original, it is saying he shook with rage. You see it again, verse 38. Jesus comes to the tomb, sees the tomb of his best mate Lazarus, and he shakes with rage. Friends, it is okay to be angry at death. There's plenty of things that it's not good to be angry about. Someone cuts you off in traffic. Things don't go your way. But death? It's okay to be angry about it. The atheist movement tries to tell us that this life is all there is. We're just a clump of cells. We're here to live and then die. Death is normal. Death's normal. Sad, we'll miss them, but normal. Rubbish. Death is not normal. We were not made to die. Death is a consequence of the fact that humans have sinned against God. Death is a result of every person rebelling against God. Death is a sign that this world is not as it should be. We weren't made to die. It's why death is so bad. And so it's okay to be angry. where I lived last year. I lived near a cemetery. Often would walk through, look at all the gravestones, and it's easy to think, well, of course, that's just the circle of life. That's just where we all end up. No, it's not normal. We were made, you were made for more. And so Jesus, he's angry. He's angry. His mate is dead. There's grief. B.B. Warfield, he says this, Jesus advances to the tomb, not weak and sniveling, but as a champion preparing for conflict. John uncovers the heart of Jesus as he wins our salvation, not in cold unconcern, but with fiery wrath against our enemy. Jesus, he's like a champion ready to take on the greatest enemy of death. He's angry. I wonder if you've ever felt any of those emotions, confusion, grief, anger. We all have. What's Jesus going to do about it? Well, in verse 25, he says the famous words, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Today, friends, it's Easter Sunday. We are remembering that Jesus was resurrected, that he conquered death. And so Jesus is saying to you and me, I'm the resurrection and the life. Not just that he conquered death, but anyone who trusts in him today will also conquer death. We may die in this life, but when Jesus returns, we'll enter eternal life. We'll be resurrected to the perfect eternal life forever. And so Jesus is saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. He is offering you and me today life. Life now, the best life, life to the full. I truly believe following Jesus is the best life, the hope, the meaning, the joy, the purpose that comes. But more than that, life eternal. And it's all because of the resurrection. Many of you will have heard Chuck Norris jokes before. We all have. Chuck Norris, the martial artist. There's been lots of jokes going around about Chuck Norris for many years. If you haven't heard any, let me give you some highlights. Chuck Norris can win Connect Four in just 3 moves. Chuck Norris doesn't wear a watch. He decides what time it is. When the boogeyman goes to sleep every night, he checks his closet for Chuck Norris. And Chuck Norris doesn't do push-ups. He pushes the earth down. You heard Chuck Norris jokes before? Is it just me? They've been going around for a while. The idea is that Chuck Norris is invincible. The normal rules don't apply to him. Well, about 2 weeks ago, Chuck Norris died. He wasn't invincible. He faced death. Just like everyone else. But actually, he didn't really just die. He leveled up. That's not a joke. It's true. Because Chuck Norris was a Christian. Chuck Norris believed in Jesus who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He knew that because of his faith in Jesus, death was not the end. We cannot avoid death, friends, but we can have the promise of life everlasting. Well, what does Jesus do? He comes to the tomb of his mate Lazarus and he says, Lazarus, come out. It's been said that he had to say Lazarus's name. Because if he didn't, everyone who'd ever died would have come out of their tombs. He's that powerful. And Lazarus rose again. Of course, Lazarus went on to die once again. But he's showing us Jesus has the power over death. And when it comes to Easter Sunday, he conquered death once and for all. Whoever trusts in him has the confidence that death is defeated. The scoreboard says death zero. Jesus won. Death is not the end. If he can raise Lazarus, he can raise you. There's a beautiful kids' picture book about the story of Lazarus. It's called Goodbye to Goodbyes. It's all about how Jesus came to defeat death so that as Christians, we no longer have to say goodbyes forever. I'm just going to read to you the last page. We all have to say goodbye sometimes. Some of them are short goodbyes. Some are long. Sometimes a friend of Jesus who we love gets sick and we're sad. Sometimes because they die, we have to say goodbye. It feels like a forever goodbye. Jesus knows it is sad to say goodbye. So Jesus came to end goodbyes. One day, Jesus and all his friends will say goodbye to goodbyes forever. I want to finish with the question that Jesus then asks Martha. You read verse 25 again. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" The most important question any person has to answer in your whole life is that question. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God who died for your sin and rose again? I mean, think about it. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we may as well shut down this church, bulldoze it. We're wasting our time. But if he did, if he really does offer hope after death, that changes everything. Do you believe this? Not talking about blind faith. When you become a Christian, you don't have to switch off your brain. It's good to look into the evidence. If you've never looked into the evidence for the resurrection, I'd love to chat with you. We can talk about the empty tomb, the multiple appearances over many days, that the first witnesses were women in a culture where the testimony of women wasn't even admitted into a court of law. We can talk about people willing to die for seeing Jesus alive. I'm not talking about blind faith, but being convinced that Jesus really did rise from the dead. That changes everything. And if you do believe, you have confidence you're forgiven because he died and rose again. And you have a certain hope that death is not the end. That just as Jesus rose on Easter Sunday, you too will one day rise to new life. And we can say goodbye to all goodbyes forever.
Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in you will live, even though they die. Would you help us to believe? Would you help us to trust you? We thank you, Jesus, for dying for us on the cross and rising again on Easter Sunday. We thank you and praise you that death has been defeated and that we have the hope of eternal life. We pray for our world, for the suffering and the confusion, the anger, the pain. And we pray that our world this Easter Sunday, even in the midst of the worst moments of life, we might all know the hope that comes from Easter Sunday. Amen. We're about to take part in the Lord's Supper together.